When Mark Bell of the PSNI's human trafficking team, and that's Mark sitting down near the back here, rang me on late on a Friday night in July. I'm not going to say where I was that night and what I was doing, and said, "Roger, I think we have 30, in fact, make it 40 victims, potential victims of human trafficking that we're going to refer to you for accommodation." It was a deep intake of breath, quite a challenge to find that amount of accommodation late on a Friday. Now, yes, the police had given me heads up that they had an operation, which is great because I can prep and plan for that. I can make provisional arrangements for accommodation. And, of course, my own colleagues in Migrant Help, I can get them on standby. And, you know, it's usually a phone call for me, and it's, how many glasses of wine have you had in the evening? Right, okay, don't have any more. We're on standby. But, thankfully, what happened on that particular weekend was, and the case has been alluded to by other speakers, the Bulgarian nationals rescued from a mushroom factory. Something like 8 or 9 victims the PSNI brought to us that night to be accommodated. And the next night, the Saturday night, several more. And by midnight on the Sunday, there were 16 potential victims of human trafficking, including children, were brought to Migrant Help for accommodation. And of course, immediately support was put in for the men by ourselves, Migrant Help, and Noelle and her colleagues for the females. My colleagues had just got home and into bed about 12:30 a.m. on the Monday morning, having thought, okay, we've got 16 clients nicely settled into safe and appropriate accommodation. The phone went, "Mark, again, we've got 5 more clients plus children from a separate operation in the Belfast area." So at 4:30 that morning, my colleagues got to bed for a few hours. But look, you know, I'm not making any complaint about it. It's what we do. It's what we're contracted by the department to do, to provide safe and secure accommodation. And you know this, the nature of the work of human trafficking, it's unpredictable. And we in Migrant Help, we just don't know how many victims, their nationalities, and where they're going to come from, often until it happens. And that's just the nature of the work. And we have to respond to that. And the immediate need is accommodation, safe and appropriate accommodation. As I said, often the police will give us heads up, which is great. We can prep and plan for that. And probably 90% of the victims that we support are referred to us from the PSNI. But a number of victims have also been referred to us from the Home Office, Visa and Immigration, from the Law Centre, who are supporting normally a small number of clients who have claimed asylum. But overall, since we, Migrant Help, have been supporting victims in Northern Ireland since 2010, probably 90%+ of those victims have actually all come into Northern Ireland legally, whether they're non-EU nationals, have come here with visas and permits. And of course, Eastern European nationals are here exercising their treaty rights. But a small number, and probably more in the last 12 to 18 months, have claimed asylum as well. And I suppose what I'm saying is, this is a changing face of human trafficking in Northern Ireland. It's a very fluid situation, human trafficking. And you know, as I say, we don't know what's going to come through the door. But we're ready and we're equipped to deal with it. I mentioned safe and secure accommodation. What does that mean? Well, the model that Migrant Help have in Northern Ireland is that we accommodate our clients in the communities, in areas that are deemed to be low risk to racism or any other form of harm that might come to our clients. What we always do is consult with the PSNI as to the appropriate areas to accommodate. And that's very important because as recent as only a month ago, we had a couple of new clients referred to us. And there was an inference that they'd been trafficking into Northern Ireland to commit crime. In fact, there was three clients referred to us, 2 separate cases. And the background to it was criminality. And there were certain areas that they could not be accommodated in Northern Ireland. So our model works in that we can find appropriate accommodation in areas, to say, to minimise any further harm to our clients. That was particularly relevant probably in August last year, when the PSNI rescued 22 Romanian nationals over a period of 1 week from labour exploitation. So we had a total of 21 victims within a weekend in July this year, but one short of the 22 last year. And that's something new that we're seeing. Normally, we've been used to supporting victims, maybe one or two coming, being referred to us, but the numbers seem to be increasing considerably. And what we're seeing is more and more Eastern Europeans being trafficked into Northern Ireland as opposed to non-EU nationals. Why is that? Probably because it's easier for the traffickers to trick and deceive Eastern Europeans to come to the UK, because they have a lawful entitlement to come and exercise their treaty rights to look for work. And that's the common theme probably in 90%+ of the victims that we've supported. They're here to work. They've come lawfully into the UK, and they're here to work, and they want to pay their taxes, and they're happy to work for minimum wage and to plug that gap in employment here in Northern Ireland, and particularly in the food and agriculture industries. And what they want to do is come and work for a fair wage, pay their taxes and that, and move on with their lives. But of course, what we find is there are a number of unscrupulous people connected to those industries who are exploiting. And as we know and we've heard, it's all about profit. I talked about the changing face of human trafficking in Northern Ireland. Basically, from about 2010 to about 2012, the sort of victims that we were seeing being referred to us, probably most of them came from the fishing industry in Northern Ireland. In 2011, we had 7 Guinean fishermen rescued from one particular boat and skipper and referred to us. And then within the next sort of 12 months, we had a number of other Filipino fishermen being referred to us, along with one or two Chinese nationals and the odd Eastern European national. Sort of a rough profile, probably age between about mid-20s into their mid-50s years of age. And some were married, families back home, and say their motivation for coming to the UK was to work to earn money to support families. Coming into late 2013, 2014, and certainly into this year, and in particular since full accession to the A2 countries of Bulgaria and Romania, we've seen large numbers of victims coming to us. And that's runs parallel to what migrant helpers see across the rest of the UK. When it comes to labour exploitation, rarely do one or two victims come to us. It's 5, 10, 15, 20 plus victims at any one time because of the amount of money that's been made. And that's what we're seeing now. Profile of those individuals, early 20s, perhaps going up to about 40 years of age. Mainly, but not exclusively, men. And a couple of new trends that we're seeing is with the Romanians from last year, probably about 2/3 of them had wives, partners that came over with them. Something similar with the Bulgarians that came this year. They had wives and partners with them, and also children. And that's something new we're seeing as well. Families coming over as well, as Noel has alluded to. What other changes have we seen in human trafficking in Northern Ireland? Well, this year has been quite unique because early this year, for the first time ever, we had 3 individual cases of young North African men being referred to us from different North African countries. Initially, they came in and they claimed to be 17, so they went under support of the Health Trust. But within days or weeks, it was ascertained that actually they were 18 years of age. So they're adults and they're referred to us. And that was quite unique, that suddenly young men who, from what we gather, when they were early to mid-teens, left their home countries, made their way to Europe, countries like Switzerland, Italy, for example, where they were exploited, sometimes for criminality, labour exploitation. One young lad, we believe, has been sexually exploited And that's a first for us as well. And here they are, they arrive into Northern Ireland early this year. How do they find us here and arrive into Belfast and claim asylum? The trafficking is changing all the time, and we're seeing new cases. We supported one particular Eastern European national who was sectioned under the Mental Health Act, and migrant help nationally. And we support victims, England and Wales, Scotland and Northern Ireland. It was the first, and it was here in Northern Ireland. So we put a support plan together along with the investigating police officer, a mental health social worker, and migrant help. And that's how we supported that particular individual. And I mentioned about the victims coming to Northern Ireland, and criminality seems to be the purpose for bringing them here. So how do we support clients? Well, very briefly, it's an individual needs assessment that we conduct with every client. So, you know, 9 Bulgarian men coming to us, rescued from the same factory. Do we treat them all the same? Absolutely not. Some are married, some are single. Some have children, some don't. Some have physical injuries. Some have other health issues, and some don't. So we deal with them all individually. And how we do that is we have a conversation with them and put together a support plan. We mutually discuss with them their plan, and it's mutually agreed the outcome. And actually, almost from day one, if not day one, we look at an exit strategy. So what do you want to do? Okay. What do you want to do? Do you want to stay on in Northern Ireland? Have you a legal entitlement? And if so, is it employment you want to do? And if someone asks me, what is the single greatest need of Eastern European nationals that we've been supporting? Yes, there's the physical and the psychological and emotional support, but the single greatest need is employment. That's what they want. And when shortly after those Eastern Europeans were with us, and we went along to the law centre where they were all gathered up together, and I was able to announce to them that there were job opportunities, you saw 20 faces with, you know, the lips down, suddenly put a smile on their face. And I'm pleased to say that at the moment we've been able to assist, along with Women's Aid, 10 of our collective clients into employment, reputable employers here in Northern Ireland. And when I look at page 6 on the handout from the Law Centre, and you see here the types of exploitation, they were in this forced labour. They were in the forced labour side of it. Worker has no power and cannot refuse without facing punishment. We have moved them to the first category of decent work, so they can make choices. As it says here, they can make choices. They can negotiate their terms and conditions, and that's the situation they're in now. And that's a fantastic outcome, so it is. Because nothing will help our clients better emotionally, psychologically, than if they're in employment and they're happy. Finally, just to conclude, where have the victims come from that we've been supporting? You've heard from other speakers, and in particular from Kevin Hylands there. This 10,000 to 13,000 victims is estimated to be in the UK. Where do you find them? Prostitution, fishing, farms and factories. Well, the fishing, farms and factories here in Northern Ireland, the food and agriculture industry, the fishing industry, is where the majority of our clients have been rescued from. For us in Migrant Help, how do we deal with this? We continue to be responsive. We continue to provide a service 24/7, 365, to ensure that all victims rescued in Northern Ireland are supported here. Thank you very much.